This hour, we're discussing nostalgia. And no discussion on nostalgia would be complete without a look at the work of Norman Rockwell. His Saturday Evening Post covers have been burned into the American psyche, and reproductions of them adorn the walls of millions of American homes and offices. But is Rockwell's art as innocent as it seems? Richard Halpern is the author of Norman Rockwell, The Underside of Innocence. He says there's more to Rockwell than many of us are willing to admit. So, was Rockwell adding a subtext to his work?
Yes, I do think that, though I'm not sure I'd call it a subtext, because the subtext suggests that it's hidden beneath something else. And I actually think that those things he includes are right there in plain sight, but nevertheless, people sometimes choose not to see them because they have this preconstructed idea of what Rockwell is, and also of who Rockwell was, and the idea that there might be, for instance, in some cases, a kind of sexual content to his work is quite disturbing to them.
Yeah. I think maybe we need to talk about an example because, well, for instance, the picture that is on the cover of the book that you're just putting out. Tell me about the picture.
It's called Girl at Mirror, and I think it's one of Rockwell's most instantly recognizable images. A girl, probably around 12 years old, she's sitting in an attic before a large mirror, and she's done her hair up. She's holding a magazine with Jane Russell looking out of it. She's clearly tried to make herself look like Jane Russell, and she's gazing into the mirror with a very complicated expression on her face, which expresses at once disappointment because she's clearly not Jane Russell, but also a kind of incipient sense that she might be beautiful someday. And it's very much a painting about the nostalgia of lost childhood, about the passing from childhood to an adult state, which it sees as loss in some ways. The painting, which is an unusual thing for Rockwell, is dark through most of it. Most of the attic is unlit. There's a small lit space in the center, but the moment is thick with the shadows of loss. Now, it's a delicate subject because now we're talking about sexuality in relation to a pretty young girl, and I think it becomes a delicate matter.
You know, what's odd about it seems to me, I don't think this will come as a surprise to you. What's interesting is that you force, by this discussion, the viewer to look at this and think not about anything that Rockwell did in particular. There's no overt sexuality to this, but you force us to look at it recognizing, I suppose, the fact that we have looked at other pictures that are less innocent than this, and there is a relationship.
Yes, and I think some of Rockwell's work would probably have trouble being printed today if it wasn't already known that Norman Rockwell's name was attached to it and that it therefore partook of a kind of innocence by association. There's a famous painting called Before the Shot, which I think people also know, of a young boy getting ready to receive an injection in the doctor's office, and he's pulling his pants down and he's sort of exposed the upper part of his buttocks and he's staring into a diploma on the wall. And when I've run this by people, well, I get two reactions. One is, you're making this up. This is just your own sort of perverted imagination ruining Rockwell. The other is that, well, it seems like that to us today, but we live in different times.
It's an interesting subject, isn't it? Nostalgia is so appealing to all of us. We all remake our pasts. We look back at things and see, on a good day, anyway, the things that were very pleasant. There isn't any way to really do that, though, is there?
It's funny that you should say that, because you'd think that this would be a time that was ripe for nostalgia, you know, especially in a post-9/11 world, that people would be more overtly nostalgic for a time when they didn't have to think about those things. I think there is a real rebirth of the notion of American innocence in the wake of 9/11, but it doesn't necessarily take a nostalgic form. And interestingly, Rockwell enters even into this because shortly after 9/11, the New York Times reprinted a series of Norman Rockwell images subtly altered to reflect in some ways the tragedy of 9/11. For instance, one of his most famous images is entitled Freedom from Fear. It's one of the four Freedom series he did during World War II. It's an image of two children asleep in bed in a middle-class home, and their parents are looking over them in a kind of solicitous way. And the father's holding a newspaper which disturbingly announces the bombing of London. And the point of the painting, which Rockwell himself called a rather smug idea, was that we in the United States didn't have to worry about that sort of thing, that war was what took place somewhere else. So the New York Times reprinted that image, but for the original paper, it had an image of its own edition the day after 9/11, as if to say, there is no freedom from fear anymore. But that kind of Rockwellian, that simpler, more innocent, safer Rockwellian world is both being invoked as a kind of desirable place we'd like to escape to, but at the same time recognized as something that we can no longer escape to. It's no longer available to us in quite the same way.
Richard Halpern is the author of Norman Rockwell, The Underside of Innocence.